Blog Talk Radio.
We're listening to Audio Road. Welcome to The Pit, Politics in Trucking. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and I'll be throwing out the issue of the day and then taking your calls and refereeing the discussion for the next hour or so. Lisa is here with us, screening calls and keeping things light and fun. If you want to join in, simply press 1 on your phone, and Lisa will be right with you. This is the show that takes the political topics of importance and relates them to the trucking industry. Sit back, relax, and listen, or jump in and bring us your opinion. It's up to you. This is your show. Once again, welcome to The Pit, and here we go. Let's head on down the audio road.
Hi, this is Lisa. Remember, to talk to Kevin, press 1 so I can pick up the phone and screen your call. You know you'd rather talk to me anyway. Or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. And at any time you have a question, just hit 1 and I'll pick up the phone.
Welcome to The Pit. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and we are getting underway. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about politics, politics in trucking, a major topic on the table today, the healthcare debate and what's going on with that. I've got some things I'm going to open with, and then we'll get to your calls and your comments. If you want to join us, if you're on the call, if you're listening to this on your phone, and you want to join in, press 1 on your phone at any time. Lisa will screen your call, and I'll get to your question or comment here shortly. Quick update. I forgot to mention this. Last night, we've been so busy, it slipped by. The website, letstruck.com, which started as cdelevate.com, was officially 3 years old on March 1st. Quite a growth rate we've got going on. We're over 22,000 members, and we're adding about 1,000 members a month. So I want to thank everybody for all their participation over there. And speaking of the website, the forums on the website are the most active section of the website. We have a lot of things. We have groups. Each person has their own page. There are photos, videos, there's sponsor pages, there's trucking tools, there's all kinds of things, fuel gauges. But of all the things, the forums are the most active by far. It's not even close. And in the forums, the topic we're going to talk about right now is the most hotly debated topic we've had in the entire three-year history of the website. We have over 10,000 individual replies about this topic. One discussion had over 2,000. It was one of the first forums I put up about the healthcare issue, and it has over 2,000 replies. So I fully expect that we are going to have a lot of participation tonight. If you're listening on Ustream, if you're watching the webcams on the website, you're in the chat room, and you want to join in, there's a couple things you could do. You could type in a question in the chat room, and Lisa will relay it to me, or you could pick up the phone, and there are still some open lines. You could get in. And the number to call in, 347-884-8327. Now, that's the way that you can join in. You can just sit and listen to the call on your phone, but that's the way if you want to be part of the conversation, dial 347-884-8327. We have several ways that you could be listening to this right now. You could be listening on the website. You could be watching on the website. You could be listening on your phone. You could be listening on TalkShoe, on Ustream. It's all over. But that's the phone number if you want to join in. All right, let's talk about healthcare. And I'm not going to jump right into what's going on today. I want to go back a little bit. And let's talk about why it's such a problem to begin with. Let's go all the way back to where I think, this is just my opinion, knowing the history, and I've studied this quite a bit, and not just recently. You know, a lot of people are talking about healthcare right now, but I go back to the mid-90s, and I go back to the late 80s, and I had to get my own health insurance. I've been self-employed my entire life, and I've always had to get my own health insurance. So then in the mid-90s, I got really interested in why it was so expensive and what I could do to bring down the cost. So I've been actively involved in the health insurance issue for a very long time, not just recently when the government got involved. Here's what I believe started the problem. If we go back to the 60s when the government, imagine that, it might have been the government that started this problem, enacted wage controls. The government said, you can't pay your executives this much. We are going to limit how much you can pay somebody. The government did that. Can you imagine that? Well, maybe I can. It's kind of happening now. Any of the companies that took government bailout money are in the same boat. They're in a position where the government might tell them how much they can pay somebody. But this is what happened back then. In business, we'll always find a way around regulation. Always. The free market will continue to work. And you can't run a business unless you have freedom to pay somebody as much as you think you need to pay them to get the very best people. So since they couldn't pay it in wages, they started adding fringe benefits. And one of them was health insurance. And it was a huge mistake. Employers should never have gotten into providing health care. And at the time, it was only for the higher paid executives. But over the years, it kept moving down until we got to the point where we absolutely expect that our employer should provide us with health care. And it became the norm. And then the entire industry works around that. And all of our regulations get built around that concept, and that was the beginning of the problem. It took the responsibility out of the hands of the individual in a lot of ways. Not only was the individual not responsible for shopping for and paying for their own health insurance, but because employers were paying for it, insurance companies kept making policies that would cover everything with copays. So now pretty soon the individual is no longer responsible for their own health care costs, not just health insurance, but now health care. We have such great insurance from our employer that we have $10 copays. We don't care if the doctor bill was $300 because we only have to pay $10. We don't care if they charged us $62 for an aspirin at the hospital because we don't have to pay for it. And the minute you take that personal responsibility away from the consumer, things will run amok. And this didn't happen overnight. This took decades for us to get to where, the point that we are. So there's problem number one, is that no personal responsibility on the health insurance side or on health cost side. Now, major problem number two is we have too many lazy, unhealthy people in this country, and certainly a lot of them in our industry. And I understand that our industry is a very unhealthy lifestyle to begin with, but that doesn't mean we can just let our bodies go, eat whatever we want, not exercise, not deal with stress, and then think that we're somehow going to be healthy. So problem number two was we don't take personal responsibility for our own health. And we don't have to worry about it because we've got health care, or we did. But slowly things got worse, and then we couldn't afford health care. And now we're to the point where we are today, where things have gotten so bad that the government is going to step in and fix things for us. And if that doesn't scare you, it should. I challenge anybody to give me an example of a government-run program that is run better than the private industry could do it. Private enterprise always does better. I don't care whether it's the post office against FedEx and UPS, the schools. Government-run schools, not public schools, government-run schools against private-run schools. anything that the government does, the private industry does better. Medicare, Medicaid, horrible programs. VA hospitals, horrible programs. They're run by the government. Now, if you get it free, there are a bunch of people out there that say, well, you know, I like the VA hospital. It's okay for me. I get it free. Well, you know what? If it's not free, let's start there. And it's not run very well. They are mediocre at best. The same with countries that have single-payer systems or socialized medicine. They are mediocre at best. They don't innovate the way we do in this country. Yes, we have expensive health care. We have very good health care. This is much more about government control than it is about fixing the problem. Here's one of the reasons. If they really wanted to fix the problem, we would see very different things being proposed. When you have homeowners insurance and your heater breaks or your hot water heater breaks or you need a new roof, you don't call the insurance company to replace those things. You pay for it out of your own pocket. Even if it is a $7,000 or an $8,000 roof, you pay for those things out of your pocket. We have homeowners insurance to cover catastrophic events. That's why homeowners insurance is so cheap, because that's all they cover is catastrophic events. We have auto insurance. You don't expect them to fix the brakes on your car or to change the oil or to replace the starter. You don't expect those things out of your insurance company for your truck. Why then do we expect our insurance, our health insurance company, to pay for every little sniffle and sneeze and doctor visit we have? That's why it's too expensive. If I go to the doctor and I have a $60 bill and I write a check to the doctor, here, $60, end of transaction, the total cost is $60. If I go to the doctor and I have to submit it to my insurance company and my doctor has to have somebody in the office to process the insurance paperwork and the insurance company has to make a profit, the $60 transaction turns into a $200 transaction. Of course it's going to be more expensive. We need $5,000 and $10,000 deductibles on health insurance, and we need to pay for our own routine health care out of our own pocket. That would go a long way towards fixing the problem. HSAs were designed to do that. And now here's where it's going to get political. In the mid-90s, when they were arguing about HSAs, the Republicans proposed HSAs. The Democrats fought them tooth and nail. The Republicans finally got them pushed through. It was too late. We are in such an entitlement mindset in healthcare and health insurance that they're just, it was a very, very tough sell from the insurance side because people didn't want to hear about $5,000 deductibles. They wanted $20 copays because that's what they became used to. And instead of educating them on how health insurance should work, we've virtually let that program die. And part of the new health care bill, depending on which version you look at, one of the problems with the new health care bill is there's about 30 of them. They change constantly and they don't tell us what they are. We have to wait till the last minute to see. But most of them that I've looked at are minimizing and taking away from the HSA. And that's the direction we need to be moving in, not away from. The other things that they could be doing. Insurance in this country is a disaster, and I know this firsthand because I sold, not me personally, but I ran, when I was a financial planner, one of the services that I offered was health insurance donor operators. I tried to get this done because I knew it was a problem. And I contracted with several companies in order to be able to provide it in different states. What an absolute nightmare. We had to be licensed in any state that we wanted to sell health insurance in. And in some states, we couldn't get licensed no matter what. We were not allowed to sell a policy in that state. There were many, many states at the time where we were not allowed to sell HSAs. That kind of stuff has to stop. We have to open it up to true competition, and that will drive down costs. We have to have the freedom to choose what's in a policy. And you don't have that freedom now. There are states that say, if you are going to sell insurance in our state, you have got to include maternity coverage. I don't want maternity coverage. You've got to include prescription drug coverage. I don't want that. You have to include psychiatric care. I don't want that. Doesn't matter. You have no choice. If you're going to sell insurance in our state, it has to be in the policy. Well, of course that's going to drive the price up. Why can't I just pick and choose what coverage I want? And in the states that allow that or in the states that regulate it less, you see huge differences in the cost. Compare getting health insurance in a state like Florida or Texas to a state like New York or New Jersey and find out what the cost differences are. We need to look at states that have run successful health insurance regulation, and then we need to minimize those, because almost all the states are overregulated when it comes to health insurance. Those are just some of the things we need to do. There's a lot going on right now. I thought there was going to be a lot more news today. It sounded like there may actually be some votes today, but I don't really see that happening right now. Not nearly as much happened today as what I thought. Now, I'm sure I have lots and lots of comments and questions. I see a couple. I'm going to get to your calls and questions right now. If you want to join in, if you've got a question, a comment, an opinion, whatever it might be, press 1 on your phone. Lisa will screen your call, and we will get to it pretty quick. Let's go to Wisconsin to start off tonight. Matt, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Kevin.
Well, good evening.
You wanted to know one government agency that was run right.
Yes.
I thought of something right off the top of my head, but the more I thought about it, you know, it's not even run right. But I do think it should be run by the government, and that's the military. And, you know, I have the utmost respect for the military and all of our soldiers and all that. That's where I do most of my charity giving is, like, the USO and stuff like that. But they're hiring more and more subcontractors to do the military's work. They're hiring private organizations to do it.
Why do you think they do that?
Because it's cheaper.
And it works. And it works. And I am 100% with you. There is no question in my mind the military is a government function. And we do okay at it. I mean, there have been times where we have, you know, the most powerful military in the world, if not the best run. We at least have it. We overwhelm them with money and numbers, if nothing else. But here's the thing. What would happen if we minimized the government down to what it should be, get rid of all the stuff that the government wants to take over? Do you think maybe then they'd be able to do a better job of running the military?
Well, I don't know. But I don't know if this is true or not, and I don't remember where I heard it or I'd tell you. But I heard somewhere that if we cut our military budget in half, we would still have the most powerful military in the world.
And you know what? That's probably something we should look at. I believe we have a strong military, but I don't know that it's efficient. Now, the problem is, the way I see it anyway, is there are so many other things we need to fix first that before we start screwing with the military, I would rather that we overspend. I would rather err on the side of overspending on the military than underspending and putting our national security at risk. Now, what I think should happen is we should get the government under control so then we could focus on the military and get it the way it should be, and maybe we should cut their budget in half, and maybe we should bring troops home, and maybe we shouldn't be occupying so many countries. I don't know, because there's so many other things we need to focus on that I'm willing to say, hey, you know what, leave the military alone. Let them do what they're doing. Let's fix these other problems first.
Okay. A side note, since it's a hot topic for this show, I just started listening to Neil Bortz's book tonight on Fairtax.
Ah,
so
good stuff.
As, in another show, I'll be able to comment more on that. But my biggest comment tonight for the health care, and I think it was just last week or within the last couple of weeks, you kind of explained the pre-existing conditions. And see,
yeah.
I was always a supporter of having that in there, and I guess I was always thinking about it wrong. Because I agree with the way you explained it, you know, like auto insurance, you can't cover pre-existing accidents.
Correct.
Because, you know, that's just not how insurance works. I guess my train of thought on it was that they need to force an insurance company to offer a policy, maybe not covering the pre-existing condition, but they can't tell a person that they are uninsurable for anything else.
That I agree with. Let them cover everything except the pre-existing condition. And put a time limit on the pre-existing condition. After 6 months or after a year, on certain things, we will cover it. That at least stops you from, you know, breaking your leg and then going to get insurance. Now, if you have a medical condition, I don't think that you should be denied coverage for your entire life on that condition. But if we allow the free market to work on this problem, the free market would fix it. It's the overregulation that stops that from happening. But if you look at what they are currently proposing, what they're currently saying is you can't rule out pre-existing condition. You have to cover everybody no matter what, even if they have a pre-existing condition. And we're going to mandate coverage. So that will stop people from just getting coverage when they have the accident or the illness or whatever. There's two big problems with that. One, you can't mandate coverage. It's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
And two, the way they've set it up, the penalties for not getting the coverage are much less than the coverage for most people. So I'm looking at my policy going, hey, you know what? If they have to cover me, I'm just dropping my insurance. I'll pay the penalties for now because it's much less than my insurance coverage is. And the next time I get sick, I'll go get insurance.
Yeah, that, I mean, you would, like I said, if to do one, you'd have to enforce the other.
Right.
Through the mandatory coverage, but like you said, not in this country.
Nope. So we have to come up with other solutions for the pre-existing condition, and there are other solutions. And open up competition, and the insurance industry will figure out a way to cover it because there's money to be made, and they'll figure out how. All right. Good stuff. I will look forward to you finishing up the Fairtax book, and we can discuss it because you'll have a lot of good stuff to say after that book, I promise you. Uh-oh. Did we lose you?
Yep. Oh, I'm still here.
Oh. Yeah, I think you were you're breaking up. I am going to – I'm going to get to some other calls. Let's – if you want to join in – I mean, I've got a couple here, but not nearly as many as I thought I was going to have. If you want to join in, a question, an opinion, whatever, press 1 on your phone. Lisa will get to your calls. She'll screen them, and I'll get to you shortly. Let's go to Virginia. Ralph, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey there.
My niece, a year ago in 10 days, she just had a kidney transplant.
Okay.
Now, without insurance, there would be no way she would have a kidney transplant. The poor little girl would have been dead years ago without insurance because she spent probably half her last couple of years, half her life in and out of hospitals. Now, without any kind of insurance, like I said, this poor little girl would probably be dead by now, you know?
Okay.
HSAs definitely wouldn't, you know, would be milked dry very quick with terminal is that?
Why would an HSA be milked dry? Do you understand how an HSA works?
Well, in it, when the money, when you you're all your money is in it, and it over with?
No, absolutely not. In order to have an HSA, you are required, before you can even open an HSA and contribute to it, you're required to have a high deductible health insurance plan. They go hand in hand. You don't self-insure completely. Your HSA is only to self-insure for your deductible amount, $5,000 a year, whatever it might be. Most HSAs today have $5 million, and some even have $10 million lifetime payouts. An HSA would have been ideal in this case, because not only is there a $5 million lifetime payout, but after your deductible each year of $5,000 or whatever you choose, you would have 100% coverage, not 80%, not 90-10. On an HSA, it's required. You've got 100% coverage after your deductible.
Yeah, with her, like even $5 million probably won't cover too much long, you know, too many years. If it's a lifetime, you know, deal.
Okay, but tell me, and I take it she does have insurance.
Her mother happens to work for the state of Delaware, so she has very good insurance.
Okay, so I'm not understanding.
This girl's only 10. This little girl is only like 10 or 11 years old. So when she turns 18, she's going to have a hard time finding, you know, and having insurance and all for herself.
You don't know that. I mean, we don't know that. And if health insurance would have been run the way it was supposed to be run, we wouldn't have a problem. But answer me this. What part of the health care bill that you see coming is going to solve her problem?
So what I see in the health care bill is nothing but a joke. And I try to stay away from it because it just makes you sick just listening to it.
Yeah, and let me also say this. There are going to be some cases that we are going to have to come up with other solutions, and we do it every day in this country. There are people with diseases that, you know, but I'll tell you what, if I'm going to have one of those diseases, I would rather be here in the U.S. than anywhere else in the world, because we do the best job of innovating and keeping people alive with some really outrageous, expensive diseases. And there isn't an answer that can solve those kind of problems for everybody. And we can't write legislation to try to solve a problem for an extreme case. We have to cover and have programs that work for the masses, and then we have to innovate for the other people. But, you know, there are stories after stories of kids or adults with, you know, really rare, expensive diseases, and you know what? They get the care they need, and they get better care.
Her mom had this disease. She only had to have one kidney transplant. Her daughter's disease is mutated. They don't know how long this kidney will last, and it's starting to attack her liver too, where it attacked her mama's liver.
Well, and this is an extreme case. And it's sad. There's no question about that, and I'm not minimizing how difficult this has to be. But do you think she would be better off in any other country with this disease?
No. And luckily, she's by a good children's hospital there in Philadelphia who's, you know, keeping her up healthy and all.
Right. Yeah, things are never going to be perfect. You know, there will always be exceptions, but I think that we do better in this country dealing with those exceptions on a case-by-case basis, and I think even people without coverage get better care in this country than they do in, you know, many other countries, even countries with single-payer systems and socialized medicine. The problem with those countries is everybody gets mediocre care.
Yeah.
Those countries don't innovate. We are the leader in medical innovation, although there are some countries catching up with us, India being one of them. But they're doing it, you know, with a free market system, and they've got a lot of people who want to be doctors, and they are starting to pass us up in some of those areas.
Like, I've been sick for the past 2 days.
And, you know, have you run to the doctor yet, or?
No, even my dispatcher and all that, why don't you get to the doctor? What's the doctor going to do? Say, drink fluids and go to bed. You know, that's what I just climbed in the truck stop, you know, climbed in the bunk, went to sleep.
Exactly. That brings up another good point, is that many people, and I don't see this much in our industry. You know, I will say that our industry isn't the healthiest in the country, but the other thing I'll say is, in my experience, people in this industry don't just run to the doctor for no reason. In fact, it might be the opposite. They don't go to the doctor until the absolute last minute, and that's not all bad. We don't need to run to the doctor constantly. We don't need a bunch of antibiotics. We don't need half the care that most people go to get. And many people go to get it because they don't have to pay for it, or they feel like they don't have to pay for it anyway.
Yeah, that's why I didn't run to the doctor. Yes, I have insurance, but why bother? You know, all he's going to say, here, take your aspirin, call me in the morning, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Give me $100.
I've got a question from the chat room. This is from Willie. So Willie wants to know, what about HMOs, private health care, putting profit over people? You know, that's why HMOs just aren't doing so well. The free market has kind of weeded them out. If you notice, HMOs aren't nearly as popular as they were at one time. It was an idea, and most people didn't like it. So you stop buying HMOs. I never had an HMO. I think I knew enough about health insurance to know that the HMO was not a good idea. But it's part of the free market, so we have choice. We don't have to take HMOs. And as far as private health care, I'm not sure what you mean by that, but I don't know if that's doctors, hospitals. Again, take some personal responsibility and say, if I don't like the way this doctor is treating me, if I think he is putting his profit over my health, then I'll go to a different doctor. So there are two different, completely different issues here, and I do it too. We tend to mix them up. We are mixing up health insurance with health care. And that confuses the issue, and we need to separate those. But whether it's health insurance or health care, the free market will work better as long as and only when people start taking responsibility for their own care. And then the free market will work, because if I stop buying HMOs because I don't like the way they work and everybody else does too, then HMOs are going to go away and somebody's going to have to come up with another idea. And they have. HSAs work great. Let's go to Pennsylvania. Hugh, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kevin. I really, really got a lot out of your opening, talking about how healthcare got in the mess we're in now, boiled down to, we don't pay for our own healthcare anymore. Therefore, we don't control the cost. My question, how do you put the toothpaste back in the tube?
One tiny little bit at a time. And that's where we're going to run into the problem is, you know, we're impatient as a society, and government knows that, and that's the leverage they're using. We want to hear that they're going to fix this tomorrow. We want to hear that they're going to fix this year. You know what? Some problems can't be fixed this year. We've got a bunch of unhealthy, uneducated consumers when it comes to health insurance and health care. And it's taken us decades to get to that point. We need to start educating people about how to be better consumers when it comes to health insurance and health care. And it's going to take a long time.
Just a little bit at a time, huh? But the answer cannot possibly be the government caused this problem with interfering in the private sector and in the free market system. The solution cannot possibly be more of it.
No, No, because, and we already see this happening now, even though, you know, the government doesn't really run our health care at the moment. I mean, we could say that they run certain aspects of it. But look at what they're trying to do as far as controlling our life and our choices. There are states, and I didn't realize this, I missed this somewhere, there are states that have outlawed cooking in trans fats, completely outlawed it. Do we really need somebody to tell us? I like French fries cooked in trans fats. You know what? I only eat them about once a month, maybe twice. But when I want a really good fast food French fry, I want a really good fast food French fry. I don't want cardboard. And if cooking it in trans fats makes it taste better, then that's what I want. Don't tell me I can't have my French fry cooked that way.
I hear you.
This was a goofy one. It's amazing to me the places that government is sticking their nose. And the point I was trying to get to there, and I could go on and on with example after example what they're doing with food, and they're outlawing bake sales in schools because, you know, that's unhealthy. I'm not kidding. They are outlawing bake sales in schools.
The point I've tried to make many times that when we bewail that they're taking over 1/6 of our economy, that's not even close.
No, you're right. You
using health care, they're going to take over all of it because there's nothing out there that does not directly affect your health, especially in their mind. Listen, I just saw a statistic the other day concerning health care and the government. Did you know this, or did I misread this? I don't know. But right now, 60% of all health care in this country is a government program.
60%?
Of course, you find numbers all over the place, and that doesn't necessarily mean that they're accurate, but that I don't doubt it.
Yeah,
you know, with Medicare, Medicaid, all of the
VA,
the state programs, VA, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know if they were including VA, they probably were. I can see how it could add up to 60%. I guess I should have done a little research before I threw that out there on a satellite radio. On a podcast like this, but
there so we can put the toothpaste back in the tube, but we can challenge somebody to come up with a better number. How about that?
But if it is 60% and our health care is still in the mess that it's in, you know, what does that tell you about the government being involved in health care? I mean, I guess it's just not doing enough.
And you've made this point several times that we keep using this 1/6 of the economy or 1/16 of the economy, and you're heading towards the same thing that I was just heading towards, is that once the government is paying for your health care, they will now feel that they have the right to force decisions on you about your lifestyle. They already do it, and it's only going to get worse. Let me give you a really bizarre one just for the entertainment value of it. There, and, you know, I don't know where people come up with this stuff, but there, and I don't remember where they started. It might be in New York or New Jersey or somewhere, but they're getting more popular. People go in for a pedicure, and somebody came up with this new method where you stick your feet in kind of like an aquarium full of water, and they have these certain kind of fish, and the fish eat the dead skin off your feet.
Cool.
And people love it. It's very bizarre. People love it. They've been outlawed.
We'll have to outlaw that. They've already done it, huh?
They've already done it. They've been outlawed in several states, and yet there is not one single documented case of any kind of medical problem caused by this procedure. Not one single documented case, and yet they've outlawed it.
Well, there's still places where leeches are used for certain ailments to suck blood and whatever. And I've seen some other cases, I think even in America, where they've actually used some kind of insect or larva or something because it was found to promote healing of certain types of skin diseases that they couldn't seem to find any other remedy for.
Well, you know,
somebody finds it distasteful, or, you know, outlaw it.
Now that we've gotten onto that part of the healthcare, I know you've been pretty active in another discussion I started on the forum about, do we really need the FDA?
You've made me think of that in ways I never thought of it before, and that could actually be handled in the private sector and at the same time promote choice. You can choose to buy food and drugs that have had no oversight. You could choose to buy food and drugs that have had FDA oversight. Or you could choose to buy food and drugs that have had some private sector organization doing oversight. And I guarantee you it would be a whole lot more efficient, effective, and improve our standard of living.
I completely agree. And do you know why most people's gut reaction to that is, because I think the FDA, as far as government agencies go, the FDA probably has a pretty good reputation. We don't really hear any major complaints about them. We don't have to go stand.
For how long it takes them to approve a drug.
Yeah, but see, I don't think most people know that, though.
Oh.
See, we know how inefficient the post office is because many of us have to deal with it. We know how inefficient the DMV is because we have to deal with it. We know how inefficient those government agencies are because we deal with them. But the FDA is just kind of in the background. Individuals, we don't know what they're doing. And when I found out these numbers, I was amazed. Now, we don't – the gut reaction is, oh, no, we need the FDA. They're there to protect us. People would sell us drugs that would kill us if it wasn't for the FDA. And, you know, in some cases, that could possibly be true. But how much government protection do we need, and why can't we open it up to free market competition? And here's one example that I found. There is a doctor who has invented an implant – for your eye, for certain people that have a certain type of eye defect that they go blind. And we know they're going to go blind, and nothing could be done about it. This doctor invented an implant that fixes it. Now, there's only a tiny part of the population as a whole that will ever get this disease. So there isn't a huge mass market for this device. He spent somewhere... He got investors. He spent somewhere between $50 and $100 million to get through the first two rounds of FDA testing.
Whoa, that didn't even include the development cost? That was just to get it through the FDA?
Yes. Now, because they get closer and closer to, you know, final approval from the FDA, the investors, you know, said, wait a minute, we don't think there's a big enough market for this anymore, and the investors bailed. So $50 to $100 million already spent. Now they're out of money. They've made it through two rounds of testing with flying colors. This thing is working. They've implanted it in people, and people can see now. But they don't have their third round of long-term testing, and the product, the procedure will never, unless something changes, will never be legal. The $50 million is gone, and we have people that are begging for this implant, and they can't get it.
Can't have it.
Nope.
Maybe we should move to a free country.
Whose body is it? Why can they tell me what I can put into my body?
Well, you know, we cannot have control over our own body unless, of course, we want to kill our own unborn babies. For some reason or other, we have complete freedom to do that, but not other things concerning our own health. I, Just give me some consistency on that.
Yeah, well, exactly. There is none. And that was the one thing today that looked like it might finally, well, and, you know, this is such a ping-pong match with whether this thing's going to get passed or not, the health care legislation. But today it was maybe finally some abortion language one way or the other that was going to hold this up today.
Right.
But who knows? Well, I don't ever remember in my lifetime any issue as big as this that, and I don't even know how to say it, how that I am afraid that they, no matter what, will find a way to ram this through.
Well, they're only trying to do what's best for you, Kevin.
Yeah. I'll just keep telling myself that.
Because they know better than you.
That's right. They do. We are ignorant and weak and powerless, I guess.
Now, isn't it worth giving up some of your freedom so that people smarter than you can run your life for you?
Nope. I don't care if they are. Many of them probably are smarter than I am. Maybe more intelligent. Maybe they have a higher IQ. However you want to measure it. I don't
It'd
care.
Be nice if they'd show it to us every now and then.
I don't care if I'm as dumb as a box of rocks. At least let me be free.
There you go. I go along
All
with
right.
that.
All right. So I've got about 13 minutes. And get to we have a couple. We'll come back to you with some words of wisdom about the fair tax tonight.
Okay, great.
All right, so hold on. I am going to head to Tony in Texas. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hello, Kevin.
Hey there.
I guess Cass does talk. I went to the doctor. At first, I told her I had insurance. They charged the insurance like $395. I found out I didn't have insurance. And I told him I paid in cash, and it was like $95. You know,
that's exactly right. And what you find out is when you have an HSA, and you have high deductibles, so now you're responsible. You know, a $5,000 deductible. I know some people even moving to $10,000 deductibles. So now you pay for all this stuff out of your own pocket, even though you do have insurance. You pay for the small stuff, and you find that you can negotiate some really good deals with healthcare providers if you pay cash.
Yeah, that's right. I went to I had worked on my truck. I went to Freightliner to get my truck worked on, and I said, "Well, I paid cash. They got me out in an hour and a half. If I went through my company, they said I don't know when we ever get it done." You know, cash, I guess, does talk.
Yes.
Yeah, another thing, I'm in Texas, and I'm trying to get in that high-risk pool in Texas. And that's the only way I can get the insurance because I have diabetes, you know. Number two diabetes, and I have a problem getting in that high risk.
Right.
You know?
Well, and some states have had some pretty good luck with this, with running pools like this. And there are better solutions to solve this problem, running high-risk pools. Now, the other thing you have to realize, though, is that you've made, and I'm going to pick on you somewhat here, because I understand about diabetes, because I'm sure you have type 2 diabetes, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes,
type 1 and 2, very different. And the majority, I don't know about yours, but I'm going to go with the majority. The majority of type 2 diabetes cases are lifestyle related.
You're right about that. I think I had too much soft drinks when I was in my 30s and 20s. I think that's where I got my diabetes.
A lot of things that can do it. Anything with high sugar content, anything with high starch content, lack of physical activity, carrying too much weight. I mean, there's a whole bunch of factors, but they're all lifestyle-related, and they're all within our control for the most part. Now, I have no problem with you making all those decisions. I think if you want to drink a case of Mountain Dew a day, that's up to you. If you want to chase it down with a box full of donuts, that's up to you. But I think ultimately, though, you should be required to pay more than in health insurance than somebody that didn't make those decisions.
Hey, you're right about that. I got myself in better shape now. I'm down to 178, and, you know, going to the doctor more often to help me to show what I was doing wrong and all that, too. That helped, too.
Outstanding. That brings up a good point. We need, our medical community needs to be retrained in not so much to fix our symptoms, but to keep us healthier in the first place. I should have a relationship with a primary doctor, and part of his role should be to help educate me on how to stay healthy, not waiting until I get sick and then just fixing my symptoms. Because many doctors, when you show up and you have type 2 diabetes, all they really do is give you a prescription and maybe tell you to lose some weight. But,
yeah. You
know, all that prescription does is fix the symptom. What you've been doing actually starts to fix the problem. And there is one bright side to type 2 diabetes over type 1. You can reverse this. You could get rid of this condition.
Yeah. You know, the pills they give me is metformin, and that helps you lose weight, too. You know, that helps you lose weight. You exercise and eat less,
right,
and move more, you know. And another thing, too, you know, I've been listening to all this health bill and all this on C-SPAN on XM. You know, that helps, too, listen to all that information on C-SPAN.
It does. Having satellite radio in the truck now is just fantastic if you want to stay up on these kind of issues, because there's so much information available. And what I recommend is that you get it from a wide variety of sources. Listen to C-SPAN, because you're hearing what they're actually debating. You're hearing what the lawmakers are saying. Listen to some of the network news. Listen to some of the cable news. Get different opinions. Get as much information as you can. And I think, and one of my goals behind these podcasts and these programs is to get drivers more involved in our political process. And I'm telling you that as a group, we should be the most highly educated group anywhere when it comes to issues like this, because we have more time to listen and learn than any other group that I can think of. And we shouldn't squander that. And that's what I hope that we get out of shows like this and you know, the website and getting people involved. You've got such an opportunity to listen and to become educated, and I hope you do it. All right, I've got about 6 minutes left, and I don't see any other questions on healthcare, so I'm going to go back to Hugh, and we'll finish up with maybe the fair tax, who knows. Hugh, before we start on the fair tax, I've got another question for you. Uh-oh, let me get him on here first. Oh, you there?
Yep, I was always here.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah,
hey, Kevin, he's playing in the chat room.
He is.
Sorry.
He's playing in the chat room.
Well, Matt Aggie's there. I can't resist.
You better pay attention now.
Okay.
Hey, here's my question.
Okay.
10,000 discussed replies, entries, you know, responses, whatever you want to call them. I didn't count how many forums going on, but discussions and replies, 10,000 on healthcare. One discussion alone had over 2,000 responses to it. This is the most hotly debated topic on the website, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, by far.
What happened on this call?
You know, something I was thinking about just before it started tonight is I don't remember seeing you do this before, but this week it seems you were actually promoting the podcast a little bit more on the forums. So I was kind of expecting to see a lot more participation.
Me too.
But you know what? There's been several nights in the last couple of weeks when I just have not been able to be here myself. You know, we all are out here working, and I'm assuming that may be that people have just had conflicts. I hope that's the case.
Maybe that's it. But this is turning.
Some of them just don't want to have an honest and open discussion about it because they know how wrong they are,
or they
know how vacuous their arguments are. They just don't have a valid argument.
And it's much more difficult to debate or even discuss this live than it is in a forum. In a forum, you have 10 minutes or 10 hours or 10 days to go think about your response, to go, you know, cut and paste stuff, which I do all the time. I cut and paste all kinds of stuff because I'm not going to sit and retype something I already agree with, you know.
Right.
But in a debate like this, you actually need to know your stuff. You have to be able to say, okay, if that's your response, here's what I think about that, and you don't have time to go look it up. But I'm just, you know, and this is turning out to be a pattern here on this show. And this is the show of the three new podcast shows. This is the one I'm most excited about because this is something I can't really do on Sirius and XM. And
right.
I love
pure
that.
Politics. That's right.
Just pure politics. Let's hash it out. Let's come up with new ideas. Let's open up. I try to keep an open mind. I want to hear, you know, what other people have to say. Now, I have very strong opinions, and I think everybody knows that. And I usually back them up with some fact-finding. But I'm always open, but I'm a little disappointed. This is our fourth or fifth political show, and I have yet to have any debate. I mean, I get – it's always nice to have people agree with you or to ask a question because – I'd like when I do some research and I can answer somebody's question and help them out, but there's like zero debate on this.
Yeah, that's too bad. Then again, it's early yet. You know, you say it's been four or five political shows. It could be that just more people haven't become aware that this forum is available to them yet.
Well, I will continue to push it. Maybe what I'll do is I'll go in the forums and I'll ask for topics that we should discuss next week. Maybe if people can come on with their own topic, they'll be more likely to join in. I've got a question real quick. I'm going to jump in. Are you there?
911
area code. Right. I don't think we're going to have time. Are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Well, I can hear myself talking, but couldn't hear anything other than that. We're down to about a minute. Hugh, any final words?
If I were to throw out this figure, $310 billion, would that mean anything to you?
Boy, it sounds familiar, but there's so many zeros.
Yeah, exactly. But in the year 2009, that's how much Americans spent just on compliance costs with our current tax system. Not one red cent of that went to the federal government. That's just how much we spent trying to comply with the regulations of the tax code.
And you know what's so sad about that? It produces nothing, and it enhances nothing. Nothing. It's just wasted money.
No, it's good for the politicians, the incumbents in Washington, but it's really bad for the rest of us.
It is. So give us one word in closing.
Fair tax now.
All right, outstanding. I'm all out of time. Thanks for joining me, everybody. Remember, be safe, be profitable, and master the journey. Good night. I'm Kevin Rutherford.